You may be seated and God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What day are we now? What day are we now? What day are we? If you know the day we are, shout it now. What day are we? Day five. Hallelujah. Nothing will stop us from not accomplishing this purpose of this empowerment in the name of Jesus. None of us will faint along the way. And nothing the enemy planned that will stop us from not continuing. We will continue to the end of this empowerment program. And after all, we will look back and see of the truth. Our lives has been transformed. Hallelujah. Praise God. By the special grace of God, I would love you to pay attention. I want to share something with us. Something very important. And I'm not looking at it to be normal meat. It's going to be bone. Bones. Praise God. You know, when we talk about bones, you don't give bones to children. Am I correct? Who do you give bones to? You give it to mature people. People that are mature. Praise God. And until we come to that level of looking ourselves to be Christians that are meant to eat bones, we'll keep acting and behaving like babies or children. It's unfortunate that Apostle Paul says that he said things that happen among Christians. He said it's a shameful thing to say it. He said it looks so embarrassing to say some certain thing that happens among brethren. Which means that those things that are not to be said among brethren are not to be carried out. But we see it being carried out because we are still behaving and acting like children. Praise God. Praise God. May God cause us to understand in the name of Jesus. So this evening, I will be speaking on a topic I tied to deep secrets. Deep secrets. Or the exhortation, deep secrets. Let's open the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 22. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. I read in Jesus' name. He said, he revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is where? In the darkness. And the light dwelleth with him. So the only person that has power to reveal secret things or deep secrets is Almighty God. He's the only one that has it. And he revealed those things to those that are willing to what? To learn. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 2 verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all what? All things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. It is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that searcheth the deep things of God. And God or Christ does not search the deep things of God for entertainment. He searched the deep things of his Father or of himself. And after he has searched it out, he revealed it to you and I through what? Through his Spirit in us. So when we talk about the deep things of God, we are looking at those things that are hidden, those mysteries, those things that cannot be understood, those things that cannot be carried out by your own
wisdom or being understood by your own thinking or by your own thought or by your own reason. It takes only the grace of God for you to understand those hidden things of God. So in this empowerment program, you know, when this empowerment program started some years ago, to be frank with you, when I had this empowerment program, what was in my mind was that they want to empower us so that we can make more money. That was what was in my mind. And from that first day of that empowerment program, the first year we started it, till the fifth day, I was still expecting them to do what? To change the topic. But they keep telling us, come to Christ, come to Christ, come to Christ. Then that was when I now understood that Bride Assembly Empowerment Program is different from other empowerment program. Praise God. I say praise God. And to be frank with you, the best thing, the best empowerment someone can empower you, it is not just to teach you how to make money, but to teach you he who has that money. You didn't get me? To teach you who has that money. The Bible said that when they were dragging the disciples about how to pay the tax and all that, he told them, do not bother yourself. Go to the river. Any fish you see, key, bring down the water fish. And from the fish man, what will you see? What will you see? You will see the money and pay. So which means that there are money or there are currency in the river. And it takes only him, the Almighty God, to take you there and bring out that money from that fish. Praise God. I say praise God. So you can see that the empowerment program is really, what is really after is what can be done. What should we do first? And when that thing is being done first, in every aspect of our life, we'll become in charge. Praise God. There is a saying that goes, one thing is for you to have money. Another thing is for you to know where the source of money is coming from. Knowing the source of where the money is coming from is not only the end. Another thing there is how you can, what and what you can do to ensure that money stays. Praise God. Because there are people they have money, but they don't know the source of where that money is coming from. And because they don't know the source of where that money is coming from, anything can come up and take that money away from them. But when you and I is grounded in this empowerment program or have understood what we are here for, automatically in every aspect of our life, nothing stops us from not what? Subduing. Nothing stops us from not overcoming. So it is led for us to understand what this empowerment program is all about. Praise God. So I have three secrets to share with you. Three deep secrets to share with you. The first secret I want to share with you this evening is the secret I call proscribing or casting. Proscribing or casting. Let me leave that proscribing alone. Because that proscribing has to do, please pardon me, I don't like it. Pardon me, sir. I can come down. Praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. God wants to talk to you this evening, and I would love you to pay attention. So let me leave proscribing alone. That proscribing has to do with legal. Let me leave that one. Let me deal with casting. Casting. Now, the word casting is spelled S-C-A-S-T-I-N-G, casting. Now, that word casting has different meaning. The word casting has what? Different meaning. Because it is an English word that can be used to suit to what you are referring to. Am I correct? Oh, talk to me now. Yes, but the casting I want us to look at this moment is, I'm going to use Mariner's definition. I'm going to use fisherman definition. Now, what is Mariner definition or fisherman definition? If you ask a fisherman to define casting, how is he going to define it? It will tell you that casting is an act of throwing what? A fishing line or a net into where? Into water for the purpose to what? To catch fish. Praise God. So this evening, I want to make it understand that there are things in our life that before you leave here, you need to cast it. And the only way this empowerment can truly be effective in our lives as Christians, as bride of Christ, is that we must do everything to our reach to ensure that whatever that needs to be cast should be cast before we leave here this evening. And you know, a fisherman does not cast a fishing line or a net inside water for entertainment. Am I correct? The purpose of casting that is for him to do what? To catch fish. So which means that he has no power to what? To just dip his hand and do what? And collect fish from where? From the river. Am I correct? I don't think there's anybody that any fisherman or any mariner that will go to river or that will go to ocean, and when he gets to the ocean, he'll be using his hand to do what? To catch fish. Is it possible? You can only do that in where? You can only do that in where? In swimming pool. Am I correct? But when it comes to one who is into the occupation of fishing, he is expected to have a fishing line. He is expected to have a fishing hook. He is expected to have a net. And the purpose of having all these things is to help him to cast into the river. Oh God, praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. Now let me quickly make it understand. Now listen to me carefully. What I'm trying to make it understand is that as a Christian, you don't have the capacity. As you are incapacitated in trying to use your hand to do what? To catch fish. So it is. You don't have, you cannot allow that to remain in you. For you to have an access to enter into another realm, into another dimension, then you need to offload. Is somebody getting me now? You need to what? Offload. If you refuse to offload it, it becomes a burden to you. And you cannot flow until you offload. No container will go and carry a new load and all that unless it what? It offload. So the process of casting is a process of offloading. So while I'm talking to you, you begin to think within yourself, in this empowerment program, what do I need to cast out? When I say cast out, I'm not talking about demons. I'm not here for demons. Leave demons for this evening. Praise God. Maybe if Pastor Mulimide will be preaching tomorrow, you will handle the demons. But for today, we are not casting demons. We are not casting demons. Praise God. Praise God. I repeat my statement. See, sister, you don't have the capacity. You do not have the capacity. If you refuse to cast that in, automatically you may end up slobbing. God forbid, you may end up, it can lead to anything. But for you to flow in another dimension, in another realm of flow, by the time you flow, you become free. We cannot be talking about empowerment and you having grudges against me. And we're having empowerment. I'm telling you, there are brothers and sisters who are in this empowerment program, and since day five, they have never seen the need to offload. Tonight, if you refuse to offload, I think I have angels that work with me. It's not only prophets that have angels that work with them. Me too, I have angels. Praise God. Can I say that the angel that work with me should stop him or her going home to this night? Whether he or she is online, he will remain there until he or she offloads. If you are ready to offload, shout amen. Hallelujah. Give me Psalm 55 verse 22. Psalm 55 verse 22. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. You get that? What did he say? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So the burden is not meant for you to carry. That grudges is not meant for you to carry. Gossiping is not meant for you to carry. You carry it, you will die. It's not meant for you. And if you refuse to cast it into the sea, what will happen? The Bible says what? it become a big load for you. But the Lord is telling us this evening, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, he said, cast it upon the Lord. So which means our God has what it takes to carry. He has what it takes to carry it. Give me 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, casting all your what? All your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for me. He careth for me.
True sunshine and shadow, he careth for me.
Somebody should hear you. Sing it again. One, two, go.
Hallelujah.
He careth for me.
Jesus cares.
He careth for me.
For you, because he cared for you, he expects you to cast your body to him. I grew up in a rough way, in a bad way. From my 5 years old or 6 years old, I've never stayed with my parents. I've never stayed with my parents. I left my parents, I think, 6 years old. Till now, I have never lived with them. I live with my uncle, whose wife, the way she treated me, I can't finish narrating the story. I went through, you may be looking at me to be too small, and all that. I have gone through hair in the hands of people. This woman carried a boil water in a kettle and pour it on my body. Praise God. What I'm trying to make you to understand that what she did to me is enough for me to carry her in my mind. Not only her and other people. It's for me to carry her in my mind. But if you see the way we talk, the way we relate, the way we do things, you will never believe that anything that she has ever done anything bad to me. Because I'm fully aware that if I keep carrying her in my mind, I'll become an oil, a condemned oil. Praise God. There will be oil in me, but it will be a condemned one. And for me to receive a fresh oil, I need to let go. You cannot go further when you refuse to let go. And if you want to move to another dimensions of life, learn to offload whatever anybody has done to you. Learn to offload it. Take it out from your mind. Take it out. Wherever you are, anywhere you are watching me, I'm here purposely for you. I know human beings, the Bible says the heart of men is desperately wicked. I know people are there to cause pain in your heart. I know somebody has done something horrible. Somebody has done something that when you look at what the person has done, is enough for you to say to yourself, see, I die, I will never do this to this person, I will never do that to that person. But the Lord is saying, cast it upon me. For I care it for you. He said, cast it on me because I have the capacity to carry it for you. Praise God. Let's see a story. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Look at that story quickly. Now the word of the Lord came upon Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come upon me. Please follow me while I'm reading this scripture. But Jonah rose up to where? To flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, what? He paid fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be what? To be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the word, the ways that they were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it from them. But the Jonah was down in the what? In the side of the sheep, and he lay and was fast asleep. Praise God. So the sheep master came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will do what? Will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whosoever caused this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Praise God. Someone that God sent to go and deliver, to go and talk to the people of Nineveh, he decided to go on his own, unknown to him that God is omniscient. You cannot hide anything from him, because even in the darkest place, he sees. In fact, the darkest place is the clearer place for him to see. Praise God. Everybody, they cried and cried and cried and called their God and did everything they know. You know, they have different gods they worship. So they call. No way. They left Jonah the first time of calling. You know, I hope you know. They left him be sleeping. We know our God will answer us. We know our God will answer us. The gods that we worship will answer us. But the more they called, the more the wind became so boisterous. It was serious. And when they came to a point whereby they cannot do any other thing, the ship master decided to go and wait. Jonah, why sleepeth thou? We perish here. Rise up. All of us will have called our God. You call your God. Maybe your God will answer. Did Jonah call God? No, because he knew he's the problem. Praise God. And what happened? They told, now that you know it, let's cast lots. And I hope you know my lots. Let's cast our lot and see who is responsible of this problem. Two things to learn from here. Learn to cast. When they cast the lot in school, the children used to call it tumbu tumbu. I hope you know. How many of you know that thing? You know it? What language is that? Is it Yoruba or Igbo? Tumbu tumbu. Praise God. That thing fits Yoruba, not Igbo. Praise God. Please bear with me. So when they cast the lot, the Bible says, and the lot fell on who? On Jonah. Please, I'm running up with this point. And when the lot fell on Jonah, what happened? They have only one option. And what is that option? The option they had is, they decided, let's continue that verse quickly. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lot, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. The next verse. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people are they? Many questions. Hey. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear God. You fear God, you are running away from God. The God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. He acknowledged God. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, what hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said there unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm? Ah, brother, only the calmness you can experience is what we want to read now. So what should we do so that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempest. The next verse. And he said unto them, take me up. Read it together. And he said unto them, take me up, and do what? And cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He has no option. The only thing, because Jonah is fully aware that all of them will perish in that sea unless they throw him inside what? Inside the sea. Look at the verse, I'm angry with them. The next verse, I'm angry with them in this verse. And he said unto them, I have read this verse, the next verse. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the where? To the land. Hey, I don't know how, I love demonstrating. Do you know what these men did? When Jonah gave them the secret that the only way out for them to for this sea to remain calm is that they need to cast him where? Into the sea. And what did the mariner, what did they do? They decided to what? To maneuver the what? The ship. So that the ship will go to the dry. So that the ship will go to the dry land. And when the ship get to the dry land, what will Jonah do? Jonah will jump. Hey, Jonah will jump and enter dry land. But the more they made effort to go close to the dry land, the more it became serious. And for you to know that the only options they have is to throw Jonah. So you don't need to pet Jonah. You pet Jonah, you risk your destiny. You pet Jonah, you risk your kingdoms. You pet Jonah, you risk things that are supposed to come to you. There are so many of you who are destined to put kingdoms. There are so many of you who are destined to do wonders. But you have refused to cast Jonah down. There are so many of you, when you start doing your, and devil knew this. There is a saying in that goes, when two people are, when one person, I remember I have a friend of mine called Aboy. This time, at times, this guy will beat me when we are in small then. At times, I will beat him. Praise God. In most times, I'm the one that always beat him. But when this guy beats me and throw me on the floor, he will tell me, guy, you are not going anywhere today. All this while you have been doing me, today, and I will remain there. Well, what will happen to him? He will remain there. So, a baby who says that the mother will not sleep, what will happen to the baby? What will happen to the baby? The baby too will not sleep. That is how it is. The two of you are quarreling. You are having misunderstanding and all that. You say, no, sister, I will never. As you are telling you never, you have close revelations against you. Hey, you don't understand me. The level you're supposed to be operating, you are not operating that level because why? You are tying somebody in your heart. Cast her out. Jonas are not to be entertained. You entertain Jonah, you die. You die. Take him out of the ship, and the ship will remain calm. Every Jonah in your life, it can be malice, it can be gossip, it can be quarreling, it can be fighting. As you are living here, that person that you are carrying your heart, let him or her know, Sister Jane, you are the Jonah of my life. Today, you will go. Any Jane here? Praise God. Listen, look at the reason why you need to let Jonah go. Give me, what scripture is that? Praise God. There is a scripture I love so much. Look at that scripture. Isaiah, Deuteronomy. Give me Deuteronomy 32. 32. Okay, give me Romans chapter. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. You already know the scripture. Quickly, Romans 12, 17. He said, recompense to no man, evil for what? Evil. Provide all things, honest, in the sight of all men. If it will be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The next verse. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. You don't have the capacity to avenge for yourself. Therefore, give it to him who has the power to avenge. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, another thing, another wicked scripture. Why you should cast them out? Deuteronomy 32:35. Deuteronomy 32:35. What did he say? Deuteronomy 32:35. Amen. Look at it. He said to what? To me belongeth what? Vengeance. I will recompense their foot. See their punishment. Those people that say they will remain Jonah in your life, tell them, I refuse you. I refuse you remaining Jonah in my life. What will it say? Why will you refuse? Because the Lord have destined them for condemnation. He said, their food shall be what? Shall slide in due time. In due time, their punishment has already been stated. So allow God to do it in his own convenient time. Don't rush God. Don't rush him. He knows what he's doing.
Don't tell me this brother has done this. He killed my mama. He killed my father. For the father did not kill you. That means God still has something to do with you. He said he's in due time. For the day of the calamity is where? Is at hand. And the thing that shall come upon them, will come when? Is it fast? Is it slow? The Bible says he will come haste. That is quickly, fastly. Don't create room for Jonah to operate in your life. As we are in this empowerment program, begin to think of Jonah in your life. Your own may be fornication. Your own may be adultery. Your own may be this. Your own may be that. Anything that do not glorify God is Jonah that they were trying to pet that needs to go to the sea. Praise God. I hope we enjoy this secret. I appreciate God by clapping your hands. Let's go to another secret. Another secret. Now, what is another secret? The deep secret of righteousness. Now, it is unfortunate, including I myself, that up to now, they are still teaching us to stop lying. That means we are not ready for the kingdom work. Up to now, they are still teaching us, don't take alcohol. See, all these things, don't lie, don't take alcohol, they are part of righteousness, good and fine. But these are teaching you teach babies. These are things you teach children that are just coming up. So in this empowerment program, for us to truly be empowered, it requires righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is not how many numbers you are in church. You can be coming to church every day, but yet you are not righteous. You can be in a choir seat, sorry. You are here, it does not make you righteous. I hope you know. Even devils sing more than you. Praise God. I myself standing here teaching, telling you all these things. Now give to, I hope you know. Now give to the exhibit now. This is the best thing I love to do. By now, it's supposed to have become great if I follow my friends. I'm telling nothing but the fat truth. But I told them the only thing that gave me joy is when I'm in a class. And I don't think there's any job at all I would do in life that would give me joy. So what I'm doing now is one of the best things I've ever dreamed to do in life. You cannot clap God on my behalf. Are you envying me? Praise God. I say praise God. So there is nothing, if I dress like all this church, deeper life, Lord choosing, the way you dress, although it's part of your righteousness, but that is not the main thing that makes you righteous. So what is righteousness? Righteousness simply means to believe the totality of God's word. That is righteousness. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6 says, and Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, or it was accounted for him. For what? For righteousness. By the time you start believing God, that is when you become righteous. And I told us on Sunday, when you say believe, the word believe is not just believe. Oh. When you believe, I made a statement that it intoxicates. You cannot believe on something and remain where you are. You cannot believe on something and still be doing what you are doing. It is an evidence that you don't believe. Praise God. I say praise God. So let's move from this era of them teaching us, don't fornicate, don't do the, don't, they are good of teaching about how to make it to be righteous. But the level we are above that level. We need to move in another dimension of understanding what secret, the secret things about righteousness. And that's what I want to share with you. One of the secret things about righteousness is that righteousness your righteousness did what? Give you the accessibility to subdue kingdoms. Pastor Lumi, do you know that in your street there are demons in charge in your street? Praise God. Every street, there are demons. Every environment, there are demons. And every state, there are demons. And these demons in each state, they know you, they know me.
They know me, they know you.
As you see the wall, as you see this wall hears. I hope you know. This wall has ear to hear. Do you understand? So all those demons in your compound, even in your compound where you live, there are witches and wizards. They know the level of your capacity. You may lie to your pastor, but those demons, you can't lie to them. And that is what the seven sons of Sceva tried to do in Acts chapter 19. The Bible said that when they came, when they saw what the apostles were doing or what the apostle did, they made an attempt to try it. And when they made an attempt to try it, what happened? The Bible said that those demons beat her out of them. But before the demon beat her out of them, he asked them a question. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? That means, see, when they made that statement they made, it is not because the apostles were anointed. It is not only because they were anointed. That statement makes you to understand that you need to be in a right stand with God. I need to be in a right stand with God. If those seven sons of Sceva are righteous, the devil can never ask them that question. So for you that is listening to me, whether here online, you want to take territories, you want to take kingdoms, have it at the back of your mind that in your village, they know who you are, although you are in Lagos. Are you aware that somebody can be in Lagos, send something, the person that is in abroad, America, will be thinking of coming back home? He will not know what is going on. He will be thinking of coming back home. And before you know, in 2 days' time, he's already in airport. When he gets to the airport, he will be thinking that he's in supermarket in United States. Unknown to him that he's in Nigeria airport. Because why? A spirit invoked, made an incantation. A man made an incantation and the spirit went into action. So when they are teaching you to be righteous, understand. When they are telling you, brother, live a righteous life. I live a righteous life. I should understand that it's beyond all these elementary things. It is because they want to prepare me for the revival ahead. And for me to revive my nation, revive the world at large, I need to be in a right stand with God. Am I talking to people here? That was what happened to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. There is a statement Daniel made there before Daniel became great. Daniel 1:8. What did he say? But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defy himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the Enoch that he might not defy himself. Daniel knew what is ahead of him. Daniel knew that the only way he can stand and become what God have destined him to be. I hope you know what Daniel did, that because of Daniel, the Bible said that because of him, the kingdoms were under his way, of his shoulder. He did exploits in his time because he started well, because he understood what righteousness is all about. So your righteousness, it is an accessibility to do exploits in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Another point on righteousness. I'm not teaching you, don't fornicate. I'm telling you the secret things about righteousness. Give me another point. Another point already. He said, your righteousness is your assurance of safety. You are not only living a righteous life because of whatever. In fact, living a righteous life is for your own good. It's for your safety. What did the Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10 say? What did he say? Proverbs 18:10. Look at what he said. He said the name of the Lord is what? Is a strong tower. The righteous, did they say the wicked? Did they say the gossip bye-bye people? What did he say? But the righteous runneth into it. And what happened to them? And they are saved. Your safety lies in your righteousness. If you want to remain safe throughout this year, if I want to remain safe throughout this year, let's forget our elementary aspect of righteousness. Let's move beyond that and look at ourselves that I am a Christian and I have the knowledge
that my safety, my righteousness lies, my what? My safety. There's another scripture we need to read. Proverbs chapter 11 verse. Let's read Proverbs 11, 5 to. What did he say? He said, riches profited not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from where? Shout it from where? The next scripture, The next verse. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. May the Lord help us to be righteous. So what have we succeeded? What have I succeeded doing? I have succeeded making you to understand that if you really want to, you want to do exploits in the kingdom of God. If I want to do exploits in the kingdom of God, this period, purge yourself. Amen. Look at what the Bible said in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. What did he say? He said what? Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. The next verse. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I love verse 21. If a man therefore will take territories, if a man therefore will do exploits in the kingdom of God, if a man therefore will do wonders, what did he say? That man should what? Purge himself. From where? From this. He shall be a vessel unto what? Unto honor, sanctify, and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. I remember when I was working in my former school, in my former year, where I was working, that was 2017, 2018. You know, one of these, they will teach you the difference between law and grace. While I was working there, you know, they have a lot of exercise books, a lot of textbooks and all that. I have my office then. Then I can take any book I want. Nobody, they will not know. Just put it inside my bag, then I take it what? Take it home. When I get home, drop it. Praise God. The next day, come with the same bag. Pick another one of your choice. Drop it. The next day, come to the office. That is how you, before you know, all the books in the office are at home. Praise God. But I was made to understand. And there is no law guiding us. No law that don't take and all that. But I was troubling my heart. If I take these books, nobody will see me. Nobody will know that I've taken these books and all that. I can go with these books. But something told me, no, you can't. Do you know, the next day, they called meeting. In that meeting, they told us that nobody is allowed to take any school property out of the school premises without due authorization. Hey, praise God. That was when I understood the difference between law and grace. What saved me at that moment was not law, because no law, but I was where? In grace. Grace taught me that this is wrong. Praise God. Praise God. We are no more under law. We are under grace. And because we are under grace, we know what is wrong from where? From right, and what is right from wrong. Do we have another point on that? IT, give me another point. If you have another point on that. Praise God. So that is the secret I'm trying to share with you on righteousness. Children of God, God expects you and I to be righteous. This scripture I just read is my own memory verse for this year. Especially that 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 is my memory verse for this year. And I've told God, according to your word, let there be signs and wonders. Praise God. Let's go to another deep secret. What's another deep secret? Praise God. Faith and what? Faith and what? And sight. It is another deep secret. It is unfortunate that we are in this empowerment program, but many of us are trying to push faith and sight away. No, you cannot push them aside. You need to understand the difference between this faith and sight. If you don't understand the difference between this faith and sight, after this empowerment program, we are expected to go out. Even when the empowerment program is on, we are expected to exercise faith. In our place of work, in anywhere we find ourselves, we are expected to exercise faith. Praise God. When you read let's have Hebrew chapter 11 verse 1. Look at what it says, Hebrew 11 verse 1. We know this scripture, am I correct? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is another scripture that we'll put in this way. Another scripture we'll put in what? It says, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. And what? And the assurance of things we do not see. Two words, confidence. The next word, assurance. And the Bible told us that as Christians, we are not to live by what? By sight. We are to live by what? By faith. So what is the difference between sight and faith? Two of them are not the same. When you talk about sight, you are looking at something invisible. You are looking at something visible. You are looking at something tangible. You are looking at something physical. That is sight. And if you are not careful, your sight will become a problem to you. Praise God. I know of a woman, one of my customers. She was pregnant and as God may have it, after 9 months, she put to bed. I went to, and unfortunately, she lost the baby. I went to her to console her and to tell her, don't worry. She told me that she just walked her pastor away. Why do you walk your pastor? I said, I don't want to see my pastor. That pastor should go and bring my dead son back. Praise God. I say, praise God. I was speechless. I said, madam, you need to please stop this thing you are saying. God will be angry with you. Do you know, as I speak to you now, this same woman have lost 2 babies. As I speak to you now, this same woman, she's pregnant now. And she thought that her problem is in this Lagos. She told me that she'll be traveling to East and she will deliver in the East. Praise God. I say, praise God. Now, why was she acting in that way? She believed that what has happened to her, no way out. There is a way you will look at your life. If you are not careful, this Bible verse that says we should not live by sight will become a problem to us. You need to understand it. And this sight can be so deceitful. Sight can be so deceitful. Imagine you are 30 years. You are not married. And Pastor Lubide is preaching the altar. Not be that one they do you. Waiting they do you and say, you never marry. Praise God. Maybe you are 60 years and you are married. Or let's say you are 50, you are married. You have not gotten baby. Any pastor who standing altar preaching, what that person is saying has nothing to do with you. What you are thinking is like, I need to go and adopt a baby. So you allowed your sight to take over the faith that you're supposed to have. Praise God. No matter whatever it may be, in the kingdom of Elohim, complaining is not allowed. In the kingdom of Elohim, murmuring is not allowed. For you to go to another realm, another level, you need to understand, you and I were not there when Christ died. I hope you know. We are worshiping God through faith. In fact, Christianity is all about faith. Everything we do in Christianity is faith. Faith catapults you to where God is. Faith makes you to know that God exists. Faith makes you to believe that there's nothing God cannot do. And when you have all this thing in your mind, when people say there's a casting down, you will say there's a lifting up. When people say they are weak, you say, no, I can't be weak. I'm strong. You are saying it by faith. I said that to one the Jehovah Witness sister. I said, brother, you better tell them you are weak. Stop telling them you are strong. Praise God. They don't believe that all fingers are not equal. If you tell them all fingers are not equal, they will tell you, bring it, let me make it equal by cutting it. Praise God. I say, praise God. Let's take a scripture. Genesis chapter 22. I love this scripture. Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1 to 5. It says, and it came to pass after this thing that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for what? For a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his what, young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleft the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eye, and he saw the place afar off. Look at a man of faith. And Abraham said unto his young men, I have said this thing before, abide ye here with the ox. How many years Abraham waited? Abraham waited for 100 years. Allow this empowerment program to have effect in you. And the only way it can be so much, have so much effect in you, you need to apply faith. I don't get to know what you are going through. I don't get to know what your problems are. But I want you to know that the God we serve expects you and I to have faith in him. People, so many Christians engage themselves, think they are not supposed to engage themselves because of faithlessness. Because of faithlessness. And in this journey we are, you need faith. The Bible says, and Abraham said to his men, abide here. Let me, or I and my what? And my son go yonder and do what? And worship and offer the sacrifice. He did not stop there. What did he say? But that verse 5, that verse 5. I love this as well. He said, and by here with the ass, I and the what? And the Lord will go yonder and worship. And what? And come again to you. Another translation will put in this way that he told his men, abide here, I and my son, we will go, and we will return. God is saying, go and sacrifice your son. He's telling his men, we are going, I have been told to sacrifice, but this son you see, both of us are do what? We are still going to come back. So Abraham is not a normal human being. Abraham has grown beyond being normal. He's a prophet. Praise God. How do I know? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, verse 16. Hebrews 11 says, but now they desire a better country, that it is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he, what? For he had prepared. Oh, I'm not finished that scripture. For he had prepared for them a city. The next one. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise. Imagine God telling Abraham, go and offer your son. And Abraham has gathered all the knowledge that this Isaac is the heir of the throne. Hey, he has told him that through Isaac, many seeds will be what? Will be born. And you are telling me to go and sacrifice him. Daddy, I am ready. Why? Let's continue about it. He that has received the promise, offer up his only begotten son. Verse 18. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19. I love verse 19. Accounting that God was able to do what? To raise him up, even from the dead. Even from also he received him in a what? In a figure. He has so much faith that even if Isaac is born to ashes, from the ashes, God will raise him up. Praise God. Talk to somebody by your side. that problem will not kill you. Tell the person, no matter whatever you are going through, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Let's take another scripture. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Look at another scripture. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciple to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cry out for help. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of a good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, lo, if it is be thou, bid me to go out, to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And what did Jesus Christ say? He told Peter, come. God is telling somebody, come. And you know, when he tells you come, he wants you to come, not just to come without experience. When you are coming, have it at the back of your mind, you are coming with experience. You are coming with patience. You are coming with endurance. You are coming with troubles. Because if those patience, those endurance, those things that did not come up, you will not know what is in our God or what our God can do. So when Peter stood and decided to walk on the sea, the Bible says wind from nowhere came. What was the purpose of that wind? The purpose of that wind was to disturb the faith of Peter. The purpose of that wind was to make Peter to doubt God. Nothing should make you doubt God in this empowerment. Whatever it may be, I don't care to know. As you are in this empowerment program, have it at the back of your mind that you are not there for their sake, or you are not there for doing sake. You are doing it so that God himself will take over. And God cannot act unless you apply faith. The wind was too much. Immediately, the Bible says Peter became afraid. Be on your feet. Sit down. Bend down your head. Begin to talk to God.
In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Okay, let's be on our feet. We'll come line by line to the Lord's table and pick the bread and the wine and go back and sit down. I am thine. Drumming era. Oh Lord. Line by line, please come forward. Draw me nearer.
blessed Lord, to the cross,
where thou hast the Dromedara,
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 blessed Lord, to the precious living Son,
oh, the pure delight of a single
just a few minutes. The man of God spoke about three deep secrets. You may be seated for a few minutes. He spoke about the secret of casting. And truly, if we don't cast away, the Lord will not fill us. For instance, when God says you should be born again, in making you to become born again, the old man must die first. It's part of casting. And I just wanted to add to what we must cast away from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Part of the things we must cast away this period. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first is what? A proud look. We must cast it away. These are part of the Jonas that must leave the ship of our life. We must cast away proud look, pride from ourselves as Christians. Well, Brother Uzzah has already preached. There's no need preaching again.
We must cast away a lying tongue. There are Christians with proud look. There are Christians with proud, in fact. But many of us are hungry, so let's not start emphasizing. A lying tongue. A lying tongue. We must cast it away. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now you say, of course, I'm not a killer. But when you kill people's character, it's their identity, it's their image. You are also killing them. Innocent blood, because what you are saying about that person might not be true, or is not true. And you are saying it, you are shedding innocent blood. He said, an art that devises wicked imaginations. You will just sit down and decide to create a problem. We don't need such. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Go on, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We must cast away all this. The second deep secret he revealed to us was righteousness. Righteousness, because Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says that righteousness exalteth a nation. The opposite of righteousness is sin. It says sin is a reproach to any people. So a life of disobedience, a life of rebellion towards God. When you are living in constant rebellion towards God, that's unrighteousness. It will be a reproach unto you. Thirdly, faith. Faith and sight. If you are hungry, can I see your hand up? You are walking by sight. That's why you are hungry. You see, Abi Brother Uzo, you have understood you very well. That's it now. Because you used an example. You said, when the pastors are preaching, somebody that is bothered about something is not thinking about, is thinking about his problem. So if you are moved by your hunger now, you are walking by sight. And the Bible says we must walk by faith and not by sight. That's true. Let's be on our feet. We'll take the communion and we'll offer a few prayers. The best time to pray is in this fasted estate. You might not have the energy to vibrate, but your body is dealt with. You are hungry, so your prayers go a long way. Can you lift up that bread? As we sing the chorus of that our song together, "Thou who knowest all my weakness." As we sing that chorus together, just the chorus.